Matt Jones, Trey Schaap. We're joined now by head coach of the Bentonville Tigers, Barry Lunny. And, Coach, your third trip in 3 years here. You've won one. You've lost one. And as Daryl Patton said earlier, one team's going to be able to say, well, we were probably the better team of this three-year stretch come tomorrow night about 9 o'clock.
Well, is that what Daryl said? Well, it's certainly an interesting scenario that I don't think, as far as I know, it's happened in the state of Arkansas that 3 years in a row the same three teams have been in the finals. So, you know, both teams have had a great run the last several years. There's no doubt about it. I understand what he's saying, and I believe that's a valid point. At the same time, I think this is a different team in many ways than was last year. They have their own identity. It's a lot of new faces for us. They certainly have quite a few back with, I think, about seven or eight on each side of the ball, about 16, 15 kids coming back. But, you know, it's both programs are very good, and I would hate to put a stamp on it and just say that the other team didn't have a great three-year run. But I do understand what he's saying.
When so you've been coaching for 30-plus years. So would that be about 84, 85? Is that when you got into it, or am I at 94?
No, actually 74.
74.
Yeah, 1974, my first year at Vian, Oklahoma.
My math is.
No, that's right. You know, I avoided all the math classes I could when I was in school.
We just wanted him to throw the football and run it. That's all we wanted him to do.
When you look at the game and your players and everything, has anything changed a lot? You know, has the skill set changed? Has the way you call and the offenses and all that stuff, or is it pretty much, you know, the same as it was back then?
You know, Matt, so many things have changed the game. I was just thinking about this the other day, and somebody asked me a question. I'd actually, Barry got to come down. I think he and Tony came down. Coach Jericho came down last year, talked to the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and the man that introduced them was an older gentleman that had been around Arkansas football for a long time, and he had printed up all this information on my dad, who had actually played during the 40s for Coach Barnhill. When they went to the bowl game, I looked at the roster and I saw my dad, brag on my dad. I may have known it, just forgot about it, but he was all Southwest Conference. He was on there with Kyle Rote, some unbelievable names, Sammy Ball, those guys back there. And I got to thinking about those guys, and somebody asked me a question not too long ago about it. Do you think those guys are as good, you know, in that era of the 50s or 60s, are as good as athletes as these? Could they play today? And, you know, I thought about that, and I think that without a doubt they could, especially if they had the same training and same type of nutritional, you know, they didn't even lift weights back then.
Yeah.
I mean, they were throwing cows around on the farm. But, I think that, you know, things have changed, and you have to keep up with that. If you don't, you get left behind. The offenses have changed. But I don't think kids have changed. I think that if you'll lay out before them the expectations, weight room, all the physical things that you want to get done, I think the young man will still follow and do those things.
That leads me to my next question. How important is it, and how much joy do you get from seeing these young kids become young men, and when you see them 10 years down the road, and just being a positive influence in their life?
Matt, I'm riding the bus today. I'm doing a lot of reflecting, you know, because you never know if this might be your last time. You never take it for granted that you try to talk about 3 years in a row, and if you're not careful, you can just think it's going to happen all the time. And it's very rare. It does happen, and I know I'm blessed, and I pinch myself all the time. And one of the things, Matt, I was thinking about is, you know, win or lose the game, and like it was difficult last year, but year four it was great, and 2008 it was great, and, you know, I can go on. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can let this culture of winning infect all of us, the point we realize what some of the best things about competition and athletics is about is, as you said, helping. And this has got to continue to remain important in the hearts of people who lead kids, to help them develop, to become young men, to learn what it is to work with a group of people that you might not always, maybe don't love each other totally 100%. You know, when you got 140, 50 kids, not everybody gets along all the time. But how do you mesh those to work together? Because that's the way it's in life. You may work with somebody you don't like. You may have a boss you don't like. And then how to enjoy your successes, celebrate those things, and then how to deal with the failures or the disappointments that come. That's life. And then seeing them grow up and turn out to be good young men. Yeah. It really is. And I just hope we don't lose that sight, in fact, of always about talking about winning. Because if we win there out here tomorrow night, which I hope we do, but we lose in the other arena, I'm not sure we really
succeed. You don't feel like you've succeeded as a coach in the
person. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Barry, before we talk about tomorrow's game and get your thoughts on that, and obviously a team that you know very, very well, I want to take you back to your time at Southside and trying to prepare for a kid that's got the ability of the one that is sitting next to you. And what went?
I had to prepare for a kid like that.
That's what I'm saying.
We didn't have a lot of success against him.
Well, but I want to get your thoughts on trying to prepare for an athlete like a Matt Jones.
Yeah, I thought you were going to take it into Austin, which you probably need to. But, you know, there's certainly when you looked at Matt and we were trying to prepare for him or any great athletes, you realize they're going to make their plays. They're just too good athletes not to make the plays. And what you try to do is minimize it. You try to minimize the number of big plays. And I can tell you right now, we worked all week long. I don't care what the fullback does. You've got the quarterback. The very first play, that guy jumps down on the fullback, and he goes about 50 yards, you know.
You talk about the game changing. You don't have to prepare that much for the triple option anymore.
Well, and you know, it's a challenge that I think your kids want to, and that's what makes a special athlete like Matt and others so special is you get everybody's attention on the other team, and to be able to go out week after week and perform when you know that you're going to get everybody's best design defensively to stop a Matt Jones or somebody and still see them excel. That's the uniqueness. It's not that a guy has 200 yards this week and next week he has 50 against a team that didn't play that good. But when you get ready to play against a Matt Jones or an Austin Allen, you know, those types of things, you know they're going to get the best shot. And so a preparation is they're going to make their plays. We got to minimize as much as we can, try to keep the ball in our hands and away from them as much as you can, and hope some schemes will work. And sometimes they do, and more times than not, they don't against the great athlete.
And talking about Austin Allen, seeing him perform last year and what he was able to do last year on this stage, in this field, I can tell people, hey, you need to buy your tickets. You need to come see. If you don't have anything to do, you need to be here tomorrow night.
Sure.
From a coach's perspective, to those listeners that are listening that might be on the fence, well, do I really want to go to the game or do I not? What would you tell them as a reason why to come and watch?
Well, I just think that number one, you take the talent out, that just the star talent that both teams have, and obviously we have some too. We're not without any, but you take that out. I think if you're just a football fan and you like football, and I'm gonna brag on my staff as much as anything, and Daryl's bunch, you're going to see two really well-coached football teams. They're not perfect. We'll make mistakes. They'll make mistakes when you're dealing with kids. And doesn't matter if it's on Sundays or Pop Warner, they're going to make mistakes because of the nature of the game. But you're going to see two well-coached football teams that are going to compete at a high level. And you know, and I would remind people, too, I know this state and much of the state is all excited about who the new coach is going to be at Arkansas and all that. And that's great. I hope they are. But you know, I told a guy one time that was thinking about doing some stuff for a program, and then he made a comment to me. He said, "Yeah, but I'm doing skyboxes at the university and all that. I really don't know about being able to help you all do things." This was when I was at Southside, and I said, "You know, I understand that. I mean, my dad was a Razorback, my son was. I appreciate that, but you know, these are the future Razorbacks, and in this state, when they are supported." And crowds turn out, that makes football at the high school level more special. And I think we can't forget that these are the kids that we must get, not necessarily all the kids at Bentonville and Fayetteville, but the high school programs. If we're going to be successful at the next level, we've got to continue to develop and make it important for kids to want to be a part of something, and that means come and watching them, not just empty stands. And continue to keep these kids playing this sport and develop as much talent as we can, because, you know, a state over 3 million, a little over 3 million, we need all the Arkansas kids going to Arkansas or ASU or wherever, you know, wherever as we can.
It leads me to my next thing. When I believe I was a junior, they actually started allowing you to practice in the spring. And so when you look around and developing these kids to be better talent and just better football players, What do you think the state of Arkansas programs need to do in the summer if it's 7-on-7 passing camps? Or what would your advice be to some other coaches?
Matt, I think we're doing the things now. I think we've got available to us with spring football, pad camps that you're allowed to have now. We have one right the first week of June. Last year we had Jeff City, Missouri, came down, which is one of the top programs in Missouri. Jinx comes over. We spend a day and a half in pads. The 7-on-7s obviously are important. But taking advantage of the spring football and the opportunities that you have to do some pad camps, we have as much opportunity right now as any state around us to continue to develop. And it's just a matter of, do you want to go do it and give your kids that opportunity? We got to be careful. The downside can be that doing too much
right
with the kids through that course of the year can lead to a little burnout if we're not careful. And that's where I think
you got to
find a good balance of it.
And as far as your game plan, some coaches get a little stubborn and they want to run certain plays, but how do you coach to your talent? And a good coach is able to take the talent he has and change his offense a little bit to, you know, get the best out of your talent of your players.
You know, that is the challenge, you know, because we don't recruit.
It's not the same team every year.
That's exactly right. It's not the same team every year, and you can't recruit. At least they're not supposed to be recruited. But you can't recruit to those needs. And so some years your quarterback may be a little better thrower. The next year he might be a runner. So it's the challenge of looking and trying to fit those pieces together. And then I think having enough foresight to say, okay, this kid's a sophomore. He's going to be our quarterback next 2 years. But here's his strengths, and being able to still within the scope of what you fundamentally believe and what you want to continue to do through your junior high program and high school, tweak it enough to take advantage of those abilities he has. And instead of trying to make a guy a thrower that's not a thrower, I mean, you're beating your head against
it. You haven't hurt too many kids' feelings, have you? If they want to be a quarterback and you say, hey, son, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to play defense or you're going to have to play a different position.
Well, you know, that they do. Sometimes you have to do that, Matt, and really set them down and talk to them about it. And I think that's the approach we try to do. And some of them get their feelings hurt. They want to be this. But,
right.
You know, I'll never forget I had a kid coming out of junior high school that was just too slow to be a linebacker. And he was a linebacker in junior high over Chaffin. And, I mean, he cried. He cried for 2 years only. But I said, son, we're going to make you a defensive end. They're not going to be able to block you because you do have enough quickness. And he made All-State 2 years,
that's
but he
awesome.
Was still mad at me a senior year for not letting him play linebacker. But he was just an unbelievable defensive end for us.
Coach, talk about Terrace Wallace and what he's meant to Bentonville and you personally, but the program as well.
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. He's a better person than he is a football player, and that is extreme. He's just a wonderful young man, GPA, excellent GPA, 3.5. Just one of the most joyous, outgoing personalities, even though he's quiet, but he's always got that smile and laugh. And you go back and look at the 4,000-plus yards, the 60-something yard touchdowns that he has in against some pretty good competition over a three-year period of time. His durability, obviously the unbelievable story in my mind is tearing an ACL his ninth grade year. He'd only played football his eighth grade year, his first year ever played. He was a soccer kid. He went out and played soccer on a Saturday morning his freshman year after week three, tears an ACL, missed his whole freshman season, and really wasn't a good running back at all. Didn't even understand the game. To go rehab like he did, and then rush for 1,500 yards the next year. Now, we were pretty good up front, but it's still pretty special. He's had a remarkable, remarkable career.
Let's look at this game tomorrow night, the 7A state championship game. We're joined by Barry Lunny, head coach of the Bentonville Tigers here on Overtime. And, Coach, I asked Daryl Patton this question. You two guys, you know each other well. You play in the same conference. This is the third time you're playing for a state title. There's not a whole lot that you can go back on and try and pull out that the other side hasn't seen.
And that's the truth. We play Monday nights and B games, and junior highs play each other. Both staffs are very sound fundamentally, and there's certainly not a whole lot of that they've going to do that we hadn't seen and vice versa. But rest assured, both staffs will tweak something. Mm-hmm. They will challenge you in some other way that you hadn't seen. And, you know, you hope through the course of the year from our standpoint, hopefully not for theirs, but from ours, that we've seen something somewhere along the line that they've done that we've had to work at, and we can get them on the sideline and say, hey, remember we did this week 8 against so-and-so, you know. And so that's the I think the thing when you get a game like this is there's just this chess match. There's two good staffs, I think, that are really going to battle it out and schematically. But really it gets down to the things it always gets down to, and that's blocking and tackling. Who does it the best?
You've had a lot of kids get recruited. You've coached for a while, so you've obviously had a lot of kids get recruited. What advice do you give those kids, and do you tell them to stay in state, and how do you help them in their decision making and what's going to be best for them when they do go to the next level?
Well, I think one of the most important things, and we do a spring meeting with the kids and parents that are going to be seniors, every one of them, even if they want to walk on, and talk about the recruiting process, the scholarships that are available for every division. We talk, I let Barry do most of that. I do some because he dealt with it as a college coach and a recruiting coordinator when he was at San Jose. And we go through all the NCAA clearinghouse stuff. I mean, we really hammer it in the spring and then back in the fall again. And one of the things we tell them is, number one is, obviously you may want to pick a school because of a certain program or coach or what, but in today's, climate, that guy may be gone before you get on campus.
Right.
And so you've got to pick some place that you do want to play football at and that you want to get your education, that you can see yourself being for 5 years living in that community, because there is just so much validity in those positions now.
Let's get back on the game real quick. Austin Allen, what do you need to do to stop him? I know you won in the regular season, but the stakes are a lot higher now because the state championship's on the line.
Sure. Well, if he could miss the bus, that would be the first thing.
Rory McIlroy style.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Daryl Pat knows some people down here. Coach, I'm afraid he'll get a police escort just like Roy was able to get.
Oh, well, I'm just I just hope that whoever the new staff is at Arkansas doesn't have any kids, come in. I'm telling you, I'm so tired of seeing the Allens. But in all seriousness, is again just like talking about this big guy here. You're not going to shut him down. He is that good. He's too good. We just got to try to eliminate the big play. We were able to do that for the most part, not all, but for the most part in our first meeting. Mm-hmm. But again, they're going to make plays. We've just got to, and hopefully that we can take care of the football on the offensive side, and our running game can take time off the clock, and we can play in their end of the field and not, not three and out, three and out, three and out. We can't do that. We've got to make some first downs.
Got to possess the ball.
Yep.
You got to coach Daniel and Barry. How awesome is it, and a blessing is it, that your son is on your coaching staff with you?
Well, that's one of the reasons I told somebody the other day. It's one of the reasons I'm at Bentonville. Had an opportunity to bring a staff in, which in Arkansas at that time anyway was very rare to let you. When I came to Bentonville, they gave me an opportunity to bring in five or six people, and they were getting, they got fired out to San Jose State and in the college profession, and got lucky to talk to him. And really, not many people know this, but I don't think I would have come to Bentonville had he, and I didn't let him know that because I didn't want to influence his decision. But in my heart, I told my wife, I said, what's the deal for you if you go or not? And I said, without saying, if Barry decides to come, I'm going. That's going to be my sign to really go with it. And because it's been great.
Y'all beat Southside last week, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. So it was a great opportunity for me to work with him and give him the offense, which was hard for me to do.
I know it was hard for you to do, but let's talk about that and him being on the staff. You can't coach forever. Surely the time might be getting close, might not be getting close, but if it is, do you see him taking over the program when it is time for you to step aside?
I that's certainly in somebody else's decisions to make that decision as an athletic director administration. Does he want to be a head coach? Obviously he does. And he's had opportunities to get back into college, and it's not been the right one, really, that he just kind of made a decision he wasn't going to jump back in that mid-major thing and chase that. He's at a place of contentment. I've tried to get him to go last year. I mean, because I didn't want him hanging around for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want him staying for Dad. And he assured me he's not. He loves Northwest Arkansas.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Northwest.
He loves Northwest Arkansas. He's got a lot of friends in the area from his college days. Like, Matt knows, you just make some relationships. He loves to fish, got a boat, goes to Beaver Lake and gets out there.
We talked about you in developing these players. What have these players taught you? What have you learned the most in your coaching experience that you'll just never forget?
You know, boy, Matt, that's I think that as much as anything in today's climate that's changing in our society, if you're not careful, you can lose a lot of confidence in these young people.
Right.
And I think, as I just see, that they still will live up to your expectations if you lay it out there for them. They still desire discipline in their lives, even though they don't actually bark out for it.
Right.
But that's really what they need and want. And they will fight for something, and they'll pull together for some commonality today. And that this our whole society needs. We really do.
Yeah, well, I do have a lot of respect for you as a man, as a coach, and good luck to y'all.
Thanks for having me.
Barry, real quick, we've got about 15 seconds. What do you tell your team tonight, the team meeting, or before the game tomorrow?
Like we told them all week, you've done it all year. You're prepared. You've been well coached. Turn it loose. Go have fun.
Good luck in the game tomorrow.
Thank you.